This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. Once again, we are live at T-Mobile Park, where the Mariners and the Astros will wrap things up for the 2022 regular season out here when they send Bryce Miller to the Hill. And it's on the hills of a huge win last night, which you were in attendance for out in the stands amongst the common unwashed, Dave. How was your night?
Amongst the common unwashed, Bob.
Oh, that's right. You were in the highfalutin seats.
I was
there.
In the highfalutin. That was awesome, man.
Well, now I know it's bugging me.
Mike, I should have brought you some food last night. There was, oh man, the All-Star Club is fantastic. It really is.
You're going to get him going now. He's
over
there.
Oh, Mike.
Salivating.
They had lamb. It was so succulent. Melts in your mouth.
Much as you want.
That was fantastic. I was with my buddy Greg Heck, and we talked baseball for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. It was fantastic, and it was just such a great game. There's so much that happened in that game, so many things that are a positive. It just could not have gone any better last night because, look, it got a little tense there at the end. I think the tying run was in the warm-up circle at one point, and you're like, But also you see the Angels go out and take one from the Rangers, and
Blue Jays lose.
Mariners look fantastic. Kirby was amazing.
Yeah,
Cal had a solid game. I mean,
it was a good night. It was a much needed night. There was so much tension going into this game. So much. Oh my God, are they going to blow this? Are they? They have got to win this game. They got to win the series. But it starts last night, obviously. And Kirby got in a little trouble in that opening inning.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh my God, he's got all these runners out there. What's going to happen? And he became George Kirby. Last night, he was the George Kirby we're used to seeing. What, his 19th quality start of the season, I believe, which leads the team. He goes 6 innings, 5 hits, no runs, 1 intentional walk. It was an intentional walk that happened last night. As somebody's doing a mic check in the background there. His only other intentional walk was in 2017 when he was in college, apparently. George Kirby.
Wow.
So he's... They were asking him, hey, you know the last time you intentionally walked anybody? He's like, no.
Yeah.
No.
That's the kind of pitcher that he is. So
And 4 strikeouts on top of it and got himself out of that jam. It was just, it started with him. You needed him to be that guy, and he was.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, at one point he retired, 12 batters between the first and fifth inning? And, it was just, and he even got hit. I was just asking Lefko. Got hit by a ball that was it an Astros fan that threw?
No, it was a kid wearing a Kelnick jersey.
No.
Yeah, and I've been watching baseball for decades, never seen that before. Seen things thrown onto the field, but somebody actually hitting a pitcher out
especially
there?
The pitcher. I mean, you think, the outfielders, that's where people will tend to throw the ball back. And he just kind of was like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, you see him looking around like, He said he thought it was the ump throw because he was waving like, hey, I want a new ball.
Yeah.
He had his arms up.
And so the kid took it like, oh, I should throw him a new ball.
Well, I guess it was as far as I could tell, there's so many stories out there, but as far as I could tell, it was an Astros foul ball. He didn't want an Astros foul ball. So he threw it back and it hit him. And I saw a video of what everybody said was his mother just lighting him up on the way out. Because you saw this blonde woman who's walking in front of him and turning around and giving him what for there.
Oh my like God. That.
And I thought she was an usher, but the people on social media were saying, no, that was his mother. I don't, there's so many stories. I don't know what's true, but he was getting lit up by this woman. I'll say that.
I love that. Oh,
well,
man.
What's funny too, is it happened on the side right below the press box. So we're sitting here and we see everyone get up and everyone's pointing from the upper level, from the lower level. And the only time you see that is when there's a fight happening.
Yeah.
So we thought fight. Oh, there's a big fight happening.
Well, and that's where all the Astros fans are sitting. Yeah. So I get why people thought it was an Astros fan.
So let me ask you this. Like, how old was the kid?
He was a teenager.
He was a teenager. I don't know, 16, something like that. I'm guessing this is, looking at the side of his face briefly. It's hard to tell.
Well, maybe we can get our texters involved. 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. I just think the next day at school, I saw you getting lit up by your mom. Yeah. Your mom was yelling at you. What were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, before they even identified who it was, I'm just like, I tweeted out, like, seriously, somebody just hit him with a ball? I'm like, I hope they drag him out by his hair.
That's hilarious.
Not knowing who, what, it was, yeah.
Do you remember, like, you know, when you were a kid and your mom would yell at you or your dad or whatever, and it was in front of, like, your friends and
stuff?
Oh, so
embarrassing.
Oh. So I feel like that kid pretty much suffered as much as he could. The ball, it looked like it just kind of hit his jersey.
Yeah.
Kinda. It kind of came
startled him
down high, and yeah, and I don't know if it made contact with him or whatever.
Nah, but, he was fine, but he was just like, what the heck? And after the game, saying he thought it was the ump threw him the ball because he was requesting a new ball. But yeah, that was, what a weird moment.
Yeah, and but you're right about, you know, the first inning, it was like, holy smokes, man. They were in big trouble. And, you know, Kirby did a great job covering the base for the Altuve hit, but, you know, he didn't make it, obviously, but he did a great job there. And then, you know, but then you had Abreu with a chopper, and Gino just throws a laser to home plate to get him out. And then same thing with JP to get the third out. So they handled that, and it was kind of like, whew, and I felt like, you know, from there on, it was, you know, it was all joy. Because, you know, the other thing is, I couldn't believe being here. There's two things that is very different about being here and watching on TV. I said this about at the NFL too. It really kind of sanitizes the hits. If you're down, especially on the sidelines, and you see those hits.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, for people that are watching slow-mo and they see a penalty hit, like, oh, that guy should, if you go down there on the field, especially, or if you're in the front row, it really sanitizes it on TV. And the things here are, you know, first of all, how fast the pitchers throw the ball and how fast that ball comes out of Gino's hand or JP's hand. And just, it's like a laser going across the field. It's impressive.
Yeah.
I love watching that. But the other thing is, you don't really get, I almost felt sorry for Altuve, but not really.
No, I didn't. I didn't experience any of that.
Dude, it is loud. I mean, everybody is in on it. Him and
I
Bregman.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's really just him and Bregman. And it's pretty amazing. And then he ends up throwing one into the camera well.
No, it was delightful.
Which scores, yeah, so I mean, it was
delightful. They had three errors last night.
Yeah, everything came together.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And I'm glad you brought up the noise, because I wanted to make a point of praising the fans that go to these games with the Astros.
Yeah.
And they don't let up. You know, all these media knuckleheads, when are they going to stop? Shut up. They're never going to stop. Not as long as those guys are on the team. That's what they represent. You know?
And if you complain about it, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
They're defiant. We're defiant here in Seattle.
I love it. So proud of the Mariner fans. So proud of those that are out there letting them hear it every time they step up to the plate. It is glorious. But, yeah, you talk about them throwing the ball around and Kirby getting into a bit of trouble and then retires 12 in a row.
Yeah.
Here's the windup and the 1-2 pitch to McCormick. Swinging a chopper toward third. Off to his left, Suarez fires across. In time to tie. To get McCormick 5-3, and that is the 12th batter in a row retired by George Kirby.
It was just a beautiful performance again that was desperately needed. And Scott Servais after the game just talking about Kirby's ability to make those adjustments within the game.
You know, George, he can do a lot of different things, and it's, you know, we saw what Verlander did last year. He's 40 years old. He's been in this league a long time. George is not. And for George to make the adjustments and do what he does, as young as he is, it's awesome to watch, and we should be privileged we get a chance to watch him move forward with us, because that's not easy to do when you're a young pitcher. Hey, I'm typically going to lean on my heater. Well, tonight I'm going to lean on my off-speed to set up my heater, and he did it. He didn't miss a beat.
He's so good. When he's on, his stuff is special. He's got that mentality where he's a butt kicker. You know what I mean? He's just aggressive. He's a guy that, you know, he just feels like if the team got into a brawl, he's going to be there with you. I don't know if he's a tough guy or not, but he's got that you know, let's grind this out attitude.
Yeah, you know, I think it was the end of the inning when he retired the 11th in a row. Was the end of an inning, I think, and he walks off the field like grumbling to himself, like he was just beating himself up. Like, I'm like, you just retired 11, dude. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like he's just a fiery guy. That's probably what happened in Tampa Bay. Just his emotions got the better of him. But
That's pretty much gone now, don't you think?
Totally gone, and especially after that performance. And then I think you kind of turn it into like, hey, I can see that he's just such a fiery competitor, and he's really hard on himself. And, you know, and that's for the good, really good athletes. They typically just remember the bad things they do. Mm-hmm. And I think that indicates that, look, you're just used to being dominant. You're used to it. And when you're not, it pisses you off. And yeah. that's kind of how it looked like to me anyway.
That's how we are with this show. I mean, we're used to dominating. And if we don't have a great show, we leave angry.
Well, and if I screw up a name or something, I can't sleep at night.
Because you're not used to it.
No, I get like 12 hours of sleep. I'm good.
You sleep just fine.
You're on that Yusei Kikuchi grind?
Yeah, yeah, when I can't get 14, I'm just not myself.
Oh, goodness.
But, yeah, that was just so much fun to watch, the whole thing. And it was really a long game.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, yeah, let's keep going, man. I could have got another couple hours.
Well, so it started with him getting out of trouble in that first inning because I was tense. I was like, oh, no. Don't let it start this way. And they able to work out of trouble. He goes on to pitch a great game. Cal Raleigh throws out his 24th runner of the year. He's the American League leader. He has now caught 10 of the last 14 attempted base stealers since September 4th. Oh, and then on top of it, he goes 2-for-3 with an RBI and a walk.
Yeah. It was one of his better performances just all the way around, and it's hard with him to pick one, right?
Yeah, but his amazing. Just as of late over the past month, I mean, he's just gunning guys down out there. And Scott talked in the post game about his footwork, how he made just a slight adjustment to his footwork, and I mean, when you're talking about, you know, a matter of milliseconds, that much difference in getting rid of the ball and getting an accurate throw to the second baseman, and so not every one of them been right on the bag. You've seen, we talked about it yesterday, Rojas catching it, tagging between the legs, and, you know, some great tags at second base, but just that little adjustment. And you're seeing the dividends from it, and he's dominant. He's leading the American League and throwing out runners. So
yeah, what a night for him! 2-for-4, RBI, walk. You know, 31st multi-hit game, 13th game this year where he's reached base 3+ times. I mean, he was just all over it. And I love hearing from service about it. You can tell how he's a proud papa, being a former catcher, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he was talking about the footwork being responsible. Remember when we were in that, I think it was after he had the last out in the Angel game with a throw out at second. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, somebody was questioning service about it and talking about the pitchers and how they can help. And he's like, it's all about the catcher.
Most that. Of it is.
Yeah.
Most of it.
Yeah. But he was, you know, putting the lid on that, and he's like, yeah, you know, you've got Luis up there throwing triple digits. I mean, we're not going to worry too much about that. It's the, you know, and then he talks about the footwork is really what is responsible for. But I love hearing him talk about his old position.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to take Scott's word for that.
Another guy that had a good night that was good to see is Ty France, because he's had a really down year and people are ready to run him out of town. Boy, that first game against the Rangers where I think he went 0-for-5. Social media was just like, get him out. He should never start another game again. Get him out of here. And he ended up in the final two games of the Rangers series, even though they didn't win either one of them. He went 2-for-4 in both games. So it's kind of started there. And then last night, I mean, he finally connects for his 11th home run of the season.
Stanek delivers. Swing and a well-hit ball deep into the gap in left center by Ty. This one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Ty France into the pen in left center field. His 11th home run of the year. Trots around the bases with the Mariners' 6th run of the night. It's now the Mariners' 6 and the Astros 1.
Much. He hadn't hit a home run since August 15th.
Yeah.
Over a month since he had hit a home run. That's a power position there, that corner spot at first base. And he's got, you know, this has been just a dreadful year for him. It really has. But hopefully, you know, we're seeing, I think they, in the Mariner notes, they had it his last 10 games. He's hitting like 280-something. He's on base, his way up. So this would be the perfect time for him to really start finding a groove during these last, you know, 6 games here, and or 5 games, I guess. I mean, that could be so huge for this team if he became something close to what we were used to seeing.
It's interesting, too, how, like, we haven't gotten a lot of people texting in, and you haven't heard a lot of complaining about Ty France not being Ty France. I mean, he's still a good player. It's just that...
On social media, you have.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm not on social media. Yeah. I haven't seen anybody, you know, complain about it on our text line or anything. That's my social media.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. But yeah, and then, you know, Teo, I mean, talking about everything just being perfect, Teoscar Hernandez robbing Bregman of all people. And I got to say, man, I'm surprised he didn't have like a little bit of a concussion or something there. That was a pretty healthy hit into the wall there.
I think the bill of his cap, because I watched that replay a few times, I think that's kind of what softened the blow a little bit, is it took it because it popped his hat off and he turned around. I mean, he ran face first into the fence and,
yeah,
and definitely made contact. But I think the bill of his hat making that contact first may have, you know, blunted it a little bit. And then you just, what I loved is how fired up Julio was. You see Julio, he's out there yelling, yes, and he runs over and gets his cap. Hat. And even with his back to him, bending down to pick up the cap, he's like, yes. And I just, yeah. You see that, you realize, all right, that's authentic. That's a guy who's just so in love with playing baseball. And to see him that fired up over that catch. And I think somebody in the post game asked Teoscar about it, like, wow, Julio was, I think, even happier than you were, or something along those lines. And he was laughing about it. But yeah, that was a huge moment.
And not a better person, well, maybe Altuve, to rob. But then, you know, later on, Brash just totally freezes Altuve. Humiliates him, man. Humiliates
Brash
Jose
got
Altuve.
Thrown into the deep end of the pool. Topa didn't have it. Topa got in trouble. Bases loaded, nobody out, and you bring in Brash. And he limits the damage. They score one run, and he goes two innings. He was on fire last night. That was vintage Brash.
Yeah.
And it was much needed because you talk about getting thrown into a tough situation. My goodness.
Yeah. He's on a roll right now because he can make it adventurous at times. But, and this is the only, and obviously it was entirely, and we'll get to this later, entirely not, you know, intentional when Munoz hits Chaz McCormick, but the only thing that could have been better is if it was maybe Altuve or Bregman that happened to be up there.
This building might have erupted.
That would have been, boy, that would have really made Dusty Baker mad.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, we'll definitely get into that coming up later. But yeah, just a great win. Hopefully it's a catalyst. Hopefully it takes the pressure off. Hopefully they can kind of just feel like, okay, now we got that feeling back. Let's go out there and do it again rather than, man, we've lost four in a row. We're running out of games. It's a nip-and-tuck battle as far as making the playoffs, not making the playoffs. I think that win goes a lot further than just, hey, we won a game.
Yeah, we were speculating about it quite a bit yesterday during the show. And, you know, I'm sure we talked about the scenario. Hey, if the Mariners beat the Astros tonight and then Texas loses to the Angels, you know, that'll be great, right? And I just remember my emotions being like, yeah, okay, well, I guess that'll be good. But now that it happened, it feels great. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way that they won that game. It indicates to me that we were talking about this yesterday. The magic is back, you know, and a couple of the jams that they got out of, you know, where at one point, like I said, the tying run was in the warm-up circle. And then, you know, that first inning that they got out of that, just the way that they won, those that got humiliated, like Altuve and Bregman, and booed. And that, by the way, Teo robbing Bregman, that was an awesome call by Goldie. He had a great play-by-play there, one of those classics. So, yeah, it was just, I don't know, I think the way that they won that, like I said, I don't think I could have imagined that yesterday. It just felt so dark, you know. Yeah. It just was like, yeah, they're just not that team that's going to come through, and they did.
Yeah. It's we'll get into all the tiebreakers and where everybody stands coming up later in the show and preview tonight's matchup against Bryce Hiller Bryce Miller taking the hill against his boyhood favorite team, the Astros. So hopefully there's some incentive there to really put on a show. Meanwhile, let's take two.
A guest update here. We'll have Josh Rojas join us in the booth at 2:45. So give him some room over there, guys, and welcome him up there. Yeah, stay tuned for that.
He's going to sit on Dave's lap.
The chair will definitely break. If that happens, the chair will definitely break. Gary Hill will not be happy.
Yeah, well, if he comes around the corner here and I go, hey, right here, partner, I think he'll turn around and leave.
We're all warmed up for you.
Oh, man. Well, the Seahawks are off today, but made a couple moves here. They've waived wide receiver Cody Thompson, and I guess this is not a Seahawks move, but they got the honor today of Ken Walker being named NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Nice. He deserved it. Just for the stick in the landing on that run.
That was really special. And what Bob's talking about, I think everybody saw it in the stadium, where he does like a 360 and then lands and then puts his hands in the air on the sidelines. But, yeah, I just did a football 101. I'm not sure when it'll be up, but talked about the running backs and particularly Zach Charbonnet. But, yeah, Ken Walker, loves seeing that recognition because he's, I mean.
Because it's not Breece Hall.
Yeah, that too. But also, you know, I think I'm starting to trust him. He's to the point where, and it's not like he needs my endorsement, but when I see him dancing around and stuff, I'm a lot of times I get a little uptight about it. I'm going to trust him from now on. And even if he does get a tackle for a loss, whatever, he has really good, quick instincts.
Didn't he, I was just waving to Shannon.
Hi, Shannon.
On the one where he stuck the landing, wasn't he kind of dancing around? Because he bounced off guys. He's spinning around. He was kind of like a pinball there for a minute. And then that just the landing was awesome.
No, and he started it like, I'm sorry, the other side and bounced it all the way back. So, yeah, I'm going to trust his cutbacks.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of quick instincts, do you know what happened to one Shannon Dreyer yesterday? Now that you're talking about quick instincts.
Was there a foul ball?
There was a foul ball that came right into the booth. And Shannon caught it. No, you went and got it. But, yeah, that's
a little different.
Those are quick instincts there.
She caught it versus she went and retrieved
it. She went and got it. There you go. Good instincts.
You know, I was looking over here going, that looks like it went in the booth that we were in there. Right over your head.
It went over your head?
Ooh.
Oh, goodness.
It's not that hard
to get. That's the hot seat right there.
It's not that hard to get something over Shannon's head.
or Rick, for that matter.
Well, we had a major trade today in the NBA. The Trailblazers have sent Damian Lillard to the Bucks as part of a three-team deal with the Suns, and that'll also send DeAndre Ayton and Jrue Holiday back to Portland.
I wonder how Blazer fans are feeling about that. I mean, Lillard's a heck of a player, man. I don't know what the not having a team up here, you kind of lose touch with what's going on and who are the good guys, who are the bad guys. We know James Harden's a big pain in everybody's rear. But Lillard, I think the fans still love him out there. I'm wondering how this is going down with them.
I remember that was Russell Wilson's, one of his favorite players. Talked about Dame Lillard, called him Dame. I didn't think he would ever leave the Trailblazer organization. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting news. It'll be fun to follow these things when the Sonics come back, which will hopefully be soon here. All right, Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife, swedish.org/cyberknifeprostate. Well, he got his start in Seattle, so what does he think about these current Mariners? We're going to talk to Little O. Omar Vizquel is going to join us next here with Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park right here, Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We are live at T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. Little programming change, little scheduling conflict, so we will not have Omar Vizquel on in this segment. Our apologies to those of you looking forward to that, but we've got more to discuss here. And did I even talk about who else was coming up in the show? Josh Rojas will join us here in the booth at 2:45.
Nice.
How about that? So we'll talk to him in person. Artie Burns will join us in our Seahawks player spotlight at 3 o'clock. And then it being Wednesday, we will talk with Christian Capel for Washington Wednesdays at 4:30. So a lot going on. You guys can text in throughout the show, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We're all feeling much lighter, much better after a Mariners win. It just feels so much. If I feel this much relief, I've got to imagine the players feel wonderful today, right? It's just, I think it goes a long way. And you look at how things are going. As far as the American League goes, Rays and Orioles have already clinched the top wild card spots. Those are done. Sitting in the number two spot are the Blue Jays, who lost last night. 87-70 is their record. Then you've got the Astros, a game and a half back of the second wild card. They're 86-72, with the Mariners at 85-72, half game back of that third wild card spot right now. So tonight's game, obviously, you win, you're now in that third wild card spot, and the Astros are out. Astros end their season with a three-game series against the Diamondbacks, who I was watching a bit this morning. They were up 3-0 on the White Sox. But, yeah, so the Mariners tiebreakers, if they tie with the Astros, they win, because right now they've won the season series. They currently are 9-3 against the Astros on the season. So regardless of today's game, if it comes to a tiebreaker, they win that. Texas, they lose a tiebreaker if it comes to some situation with them, because they are 1-8 versus the Texas Ouch. Rangers. And then they would win the tiebreaker with Toronto, likely. They split the season series. They're 3-3, but the Mariners have a better intra-division record.
You know what I like about it is that Paul Sewald still has a chance to help us out.
Yes, he does.
Not pitching for us, but pitching against the Astros.
To help us. And he's aware of it, because there was a game, what was it, about a month ago, he closed it out, and then he tweeted out, still love you, Pacific Northwest, or something, acknowledging the Pacific Northwest with his heart emoji.
Mm-hmm.
I miss Paul Sewald. I love that guy.
He was great. He was absolutely our go-to guy. Every time we needed, we probably interviewed him more than anybody.
Yeah.
I think it was him. Logan Gilbert has come out.
Yeah, we've talked to him a lot.
Certainly Cal, has been a big part of it. But yeah, Sewald was, he probably was made 10 appearances on our show. And
he's
just like a friend of the show, and just super humble, really nice guy. And what a great story, man. At age 30, when he got called up with...
He was one of the young guys with Logan and Kelnick.
Yeah.
The youth movement.
Yeah. I'll never forget that day. That was because I remember him making that joke, and then we were talking to Kelnick, and I think he was sitting down in the dugout when we interviewed him. But and I don't know, was that their debut, or was that just their home debut?
No, that was their debut.
Yeah. So yeah, it was. He's just been a gem of a person, and really, for a guy, what he says, I got two pitches.
Yeah, but, he's very humble.
But the way he sequences those pitches is pretty special. So he can help us out by smoking the Astros, or saving, or coming in and securing a win.
Yeah. Well, and then there was that moment. Shannon, can we put Shannon on the headsets real quick?
Shannon's doing her best impersonation of Bob Stelton right now by wiping down the table.
That's why Shannon and I get along so well.
The microphone.
I can relate.
So how does this thing work right here? What do we do?
Remember when Sewald, I think he'd given up, he'd blown a couple saves or a save. Remember the fans were just tearing into him on Twitter, and you posted something about his charity.
Right.
Take me through that again, because that ended up being a really cool thing, and I remember talking to him about it, and he was very appreciative of
it. Well, I saw it online. He had a rough outing, as closers do, and people were tearing into him, and then somebody kind of picked up on it. They were angry that people were tearing into him, and so I retweeted the tweet of the fan who was upset for people going after him, and I'm like, hey, if you want to show Paul Sewald your appreciation, donate to, it was like East Side Baby something or other. It was an organization that, I'm sorry, I don't have it off the top of my head, but they provide, equipment. I don't have kids. Stuff.
Equipment you need for kids.
Whatever you need.
Like strollers and baby
and diapers
carriers.
And baby formula and all of that. Yeah. People started donating, and that's just one of the great things about this fan base, is you point them in the right direction. And what a better way to support your favorite athlete than to support their charity? And they're doing the same thing in Arizona right now as well.
By the way, awesome move by you, deflecting all the anger and, making it a good thing by tweeting that out.
That's finally grown up, Dave.
No, that's that really was an awesome move. And it really, your first thought is go back after him, and you're a jerk, and you're this. And
I think
he
put his Twitter account on hold, or
he did. Yes,
whatever,
he
at
actually
that point,
he shut down his Twitter account because he was getting so much just kind of the hate tweets because he gave up a run.
Yeah,
which
people are
is
weird.
Not good.
By the way, do you agree that last night maybe the players in that clubhouse are like, okay. there's a strong sense of relief.
Don't they have to be?
Yeah.
And for me, it wasn't just the win. It was...
What in the world was that?
It's just Ryan Divish being...
A gremlin came around the corner.
Ryan Divish letting you know you're number one.
I was hoping you brought Tucker, but I guess not.
Continue.
The biggest thing, of course you need the win. You absolutely need the win for the math, but I think they needed it for themselves, for their psyches. Yeah. And I think tonight, not that you've asked for what we need tonight.
What do you think
for
about tonight?
I think tonight is, on top of, again, the math and the numbers and everything, you're playing for momentum right now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you need it going into that Rangers series.
You need it. And that doesn't mean the Mariners, you know, are going to be destroyed if they don't win tonight. But if they do have it, that's a good thing going into the Rangers series. And that's a blow for them on the other side.
Yeah.
So you say that momentum is a real thing.
Oh, this time of the year it is.
Yeah. Because we have.
There are no moral victories and there is much momentum.
Yeah. There are some people that we have on that don't believe in momentum. And
Big Ray. Well, he says it.
Is there not emotion and feelings in sports and athletes?
Yeah. Big Ray is not a believer in momentum.
Ray will argue tooth and nail, boy. He'll get down on it. But
I'm not going to argue with him because of the big part of that emotion.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'd be looking up at him, Big Ray.
I have a picture with him somewhere.
One more before we go. Any concern about Bryce Miller? Last outing was not good. This is his his childhood team. Maybe it provides a little more inspiration. I don't know. Any apprehension with him?
Well, he's survived other outings with them. So I think the biggest thing is just kind of how is he feeling right now, how he uses his stuff. George Kirby laid out a beautiful blueprint last night. Different stuff, but he's got weapons too. So what I like about Bryce Miller is the way that he's able to really break things down after he does have a rough outing, so you know that he's gone to work. So I think tonight will be, you know, kind of probably controlling some of those emotions on top of everything else.
Thanks, Shannon.
Awesome. Thanks,
you got Shannon. It, guys. Do I turn this off?
Right, turn that off.
And then you just gently remove the headphone.
And I'll throw it down.
And you did a wonderful job with the Lysol wipes there. Those are great.
Keep a clean and sanitary booth up here.
All right. Coming up, Josh Rojas will join us here live in the booth. It is very clean right now, so he's going to be very pleased with that. He's going to be here with us as we are live at T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob on your home for the Mariners playoff hunt, Seattle Sports, and the Seattle Sports app.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We're back, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park. Seattle Sports on 710. And perfect timing, right, as we're coming back from commercial. Sitting right next to us right here is a man who's come up with some big hits for this team. And hopefully there are a few more big hits in this final run with the Astros and then four with the Rangers. Talking about Josh Rojas with us. How are you, man?
Good. Doing great.
I was talking today as a fan. There was such a sense of relief after last night. Like, I felt like I could breathe. Like, oh, okay, you got to win. Is that how it feels in the clubhouse?
Not really, to be honest. It was excitement. I wouldn't say relief. You know, we go into every game expecting a win. And, you know, when you come out with a win, it doesn't really feel like a relief to us. It feels like we did what we were supposed to do. You know, it's bigger letdowns when you come out with a loss. But, you know, pure excitement when you come out with a win and, you know, got to move on and we got to win quite a few games here coming down the stretch.
Josh, we were just talking about catcher caught stealing, so which is phrased kind of odd. But you had the one with the tag between the legs, right, where you jumped up in the air. Take us through that. I mean, you know, we talk about that's got to be a perfect throw and everything. But for you, I mean, you know, you got to make sure you catch it first. And then, you know, it's kind of like in football when a guy runs before he catches the ball. I mean, that's a difficult play to make.
Yeah, it's honestly covering the bag on a steal is one of my favorite plays.
Really?
I always look forward to being the one covering the bag. Whenever it's a lefty with a runner that's going to run on first, I'm kind of disappointed it's not going to be me covering. But, no, it's always been a fun play. You know, I grew up watching, you know, my favorite guy watching make those plays was Javi Baez, make those tags at second base. And just what I saw from over the years was, you know, trying to catch the ball as deep as possible into the baseline. You know, the ball travels faster than you're able to catch and tag. Yeah. So the deeper you can catch that baseball into that runner's baseline, the faster the tag is going to be. So I'm trying to do everything I can to catch the ball, you know, right on the tag instead of, you know, reaching and coming back and tagging.
Right.
And that was just one of those scenarios where, you know, the throw was up the line to where if I wanted to catch it deep into the baseline, it was going to be as he was already past me. So it's just, you know, in the middle of the, you know, as I'm reading the play, it's like, okay, the ball's coming. He's coming into me. So I just kind of like jumped over him to give him space as the ball's coming, and it just worked out. It worked out perfectly.
Improv.
Yeah.
Good. Sounds like you were able to slow that whole thing down in your mind because the way you describe it, because a lot of times people make a play and they go, I don't know what I was thinking.
You know? But, well, it was funny because it did happen in slow motion for me, but when I felt the tag, that was a surprise to me. Like, yeah. I caught it and kind of just swiped and thinking, you know, I'm just going to swipe to swipe. And I looked on video after. You can actually, like, I tagged him and, like, looked at the umpire, like, did you see it? Because I felt the tag. I didn't know if he saw it, and he called him out, and I was still just kind of standing there like, oh, my goodness, I really tagged him. I didn't know if it was before he got to the base because I couldn't see behind me, but – when I felt the contact, it was like I looked at the umpire like, did you see it? Because it was bang bang.
It's fun to watch, man.
Those are huge plays too. You know, we all watch and the hit is big. You know, he drives in a run. This happens. Those are the obvious moments. But I feel like moments like that almost we don't understand the impact they can have on your starting pitcher. Just the vibe of the team. Like everybody's fired. We saw Julio going nuts after Teoscar made that face first catch into the wall last night, and Julio's just like, yes, yeah. I mean, just the impact a play like that has, not on just the fans but the team.
Yeah. Those are big. You know, to shut down big innings. You know, because we're talking about, you know, obviously with Teo's catch, we had multiple runners first and second, I think, and that's probably scoring a run and putting another run in scoring position. And we get an out there, and it's still first and second. So I think it was just first, actually. I think Tuve was on first. But, yeah, those are huge outs. And then when it comes to Cal's been on fire throwing guys out, you know, those are guys that are already on base. They've already reached base, and we're cutting them down and adding an out to the inning. So those are huge for, you know, getting momentum in our favor.
Have you gotten settled in, Josh, finally?
Yeah.
Good deal.
Really good.
Yeah. What about as far as Houston? I think Shannon told us that you kind of grew up in that mm-hmm. organization. And any special feelings playing the Astros?
Yeah, it's really good to see a lot of the guys I came up with. This team has quite a few guys that I came up with that I grew really close with. You know, I had Omar, the first base coach. I had him for a couple years as my manager. In the minor league, so it's always really good to see these guys. You know, a lot of these pitchers I came up with, so it's fun to face them and not be on the other side of it. So yeah, it's a lot of fun to see the guys, but it also is a lot more fun to beat them.
I agree.
Yeah, like, you know, Javier, I played, you know, two and a half years with, and then get to face him last night. You know, there's nothing more that I want to have that bragging rights against him, you know, a guy that I came up with. I'm not trying to let him get me out. So to get a hit, and then I got to see him actually getting off the bus today, and we got to talk about, you know, what he threw me. And, you know, I was asking him, like, why didn't he throw more changeups? Because I know that was a go-to for him when I faced him in the past and when I came up with him.
That's what you were waiting for up there?
I wasn't waiting for it, but I was worried about it. I knew I had to stay on the heater. Because he has such a good heater, and even if you're on his heater, it can still beat you. So I knew I couldn't come off of it, but it was in the back of my mind that, you know, if he does throw a really good change up here, it's going to beat me. You know, and I got to talk to him about that today. You know, hey, what was with the change ups? Like, I didn't have a good feel for it. You know, I only threw a couple good ones, so I was just trying to trust the heater. So, yeah, it's fun. And then talking to Chaz about, you know, him getting a bad jump and getting thrown out the other day by Cal. You know, and he's like, yeah, he was too quick and I got a bad jump. So it's cool to, like, you know, go out there, compete, you know, try to win, and then catch up with your boys after and, you know, talk about, you know, what went well, what didn't. And we're going to try to beat you again tomorrow.
So did you grow up a Cubs fan then?
No.
You said Javi Baez was your guy. So.
No, but I did. I loved watching him. I grew up a Diamondbacks fan, but, you know, when I got to, you know, college in that time, I was a little bit less of just a Diamondbacks fan and more of just a fan of watching guys that did stuff well. You know, coming up through college and high school, I never really had, like, hitting coaches or, you know, it was just me and my dad. You know, he'd hit me ground balls and throw me BP and we'd talk about swing stuff. But I learned a lot from just watching the game. So I had a lot of different favorite players, you know, and I picked little things from everybody that I liked. You know, I really loved Ichiro. I got to meet Ichiro here. He was one of my favorite players growing up. Just the way he hit, slapped the ball over the yard, high contact guy, doesn't strike out. Javi Baez was a guy I liked for his defensive stuff. Not a guy I would watch offensively, too big of a swing for me, but, you know, defensively, he was one of my favorite guys to watch, just, you know, quick tags and flashy on defense. So, you know, there's quite a few guys that, you know, I really enjoyed watching through those years, and a lot of guys that I took a lot of stuff from. Arenado was another guy that, you know, that's how I learned to play third base, was watching Arenado on YouTube. So
it's a good guy to watch.
Yeah, really good fundamentally. So, yeah, I was a big fan of just guys that I could learn from.
Josh, is it pretty common, like either before a game or after a game, that you guys come together in the clubhouse and somebody says something, and, you know, or is that not so common? And also, who sort of leads that? Who's?
Yeah, so I've actually never been a part of this, but I love it. You know, after a win, Gino is the ringleader.
Okay.
And he will get the team, everybody comes together after a win, and he'll go through who did well, you know, the pitchers that did well, who had good games offensively, some key moments in the game that really stood out, like a Teo catch is something that would come up, you know, good base running, just all the things that we touch on. And, you know, all the guys love it, and all the guys go crazy and clap, and, you know, we'll point out some funny things that happen. You know, Gino will pick on himself sometimes, or, you know, pick on some other guys. So it's actually really fun. I love it. I look forward to it. After every win, I look forward to getting back in that clubhouse and being part of that.
Did you know anybody on the team before you got traded here?
I came up playing against Ty France when he was with San Diego. I actually got the opportunity to, over the lockout, the COVID lockout, I was taking ground balls at ASU, and JP was there taking ground balls. So I got to, you know, take ground balls with him and talk and interact with him. Let's see, who else? I played with Stephen Vogt in Arizona. Yeah. I think those are the only guys that I knew personally before I got here.
Josh, can you hang out for another hour, maybe?
I wish.
It's great having you up here. I know we got to let you go here pretty soon, but any rituals before a game for you?
No, it depends on how it's going. You know, if I have a good game, it's probably going to stay the same. If I don't, I'll switch it up.
Like, example, socks.
Are you wearing the same socks from last night? Are you?
Yeah, I got the same socks. But, you know, my go-to spot right now is me and my wife like to go to Homegrown. It's on Mercer Island. They got good breakfast sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
So we'll go there. If the weather's nice, which we haven't taken the dogs out lately, but we'll take the dogs on a little walk or take them to the dog park. Yeah. And then I'll come to the field, and it's kind of the same thing. I just relax and get ready to take ground balls, and then I like to do all my heavy stuff right before the game starts. So I'll go into the weight room and get a really good warm up and get a good sweat going, go into the cage and hit out on the field, get stretched, run a couple sprints, and then right into game time. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something I picked up this year, second half of last year into this year. Cause it used to be, you know, a full warm up, get ready for BP, and then kind of a settle down, and then a full warm up, get ready for the game.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it was, by the sixth, seventh inning, I was kind of tired. So now I just, you know, get a little loose, get a couple stretches in before, you know, ground balls, and then get a full-blown warm-up and a full sweat going right before the game.
All right. I know we're late. What kind of dogs do you have?
Two golden doodles.
Ah, yeah, nice.
Two and one.
Big?
One's big. One is a little bit smaller. The girl's a little bit smaller.
What are the names?
Booker and Mia.
Booker and Mia.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome to talk to you, man.
Yeah,
really cool to talk to you. Appreciate you coming up. Last night was cool. We should do that again.
Yeah, we should.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
Josh Rojas of Your Seattle Mariners. Great conversation. Mariners Player Spotlight is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino and Pacific Lamp and Supply. We're going to keep the player guests coming. Seahawks cornerback Artie Burns will join us next. It's Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park on the exclusive home of the Mariners playoff chase, Seattle Sports on 710.